Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Jason Miles, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Red Zone, which is kind of a sports spinoff of what we do here on This is Revolution Podcast. As you know, I see nothing to the right. We'll do sports shows, shows about tabletop gaming. What else do we do? Philosophy shows, you name it. Cover it all here on TIR. Also, where else can you get a better hard rocking intro that is filled with sports that are not real sports? They're all fictional. No one's playing rollerball, and light cycles aren't real. I want to thank everyone that is not watching the football game and watching the show, or those wonderful people out there that are multitasking and watching the San Francisco 49ers, which I am not a fan of. I'm a Bay Area native, not a Niners fan. It's part of my contrarian nature. My dad wanted me to be a Niners fan. Just being a difficult little kid. Nah, don't like the colors. Brown looks like baby crap. I'm a baby and I don't like it. I don't dig it. Orange and blue. You see Mac in the virtual green room laughing at me because he is a Browns fan. He is from the Cleveland area and he's a Browns fan. But because of scheduling, it's hard for us to do these shows before the season like we wanted to do. So I still want to do a football preview of, you know, predictions that we have. Also, I want to talk about what's already gone down because there's been so many big losses in the NFL already. Aaron Rodgers gets one playoff, season done. Trayvon Diggs looks like he's out for the season with an ACL tear. And there's even more. So I can't cover it all, but I know someone that can. And he can do it oh so succinctly, yet oh so eloquently. Please welcome Mac.
Jason, I just want to correct you. I'm not a Browns fan.
Nope.
Been a Pats fan since Tony Eason was quarterback.
Speaking of Tony Eason, there is no draft that I have studied more in my 46 years of life on this earth than the 1983 draft. Oh, yeah. I think that is a fascinating draft. I think Eason had some good seasons. I definitely think, I can't remember the coach's name for the life of me. He hated Tony Eason.
Oh, yeah. He didn't want Eason.
And that was not the guy he wanted. Eason's career. And I remember that Patriots team. I remember watching that Super Bowl loss to the Chicago Bears. There's a little bit of me that was kind of rooting for that Patriots team because who was it? It was Tony Eason. Irving Fryer was on that team.
Craig James,
part of the Pony Express, one of the greatest college backfields of all time. I think a backfield that can rival that backfield would be Reggie Bush and Lindale White. I think that was a frightening backfield.
And then you also had the Arkansas team from the early 2000s that had McFadden. Oh my gosh, the big white dude. He had that breakout year with the Browns.
Oh God, what is his name? What was his name?
And then the third running back, he ended up being like a third round draft pick of the Cowboys and had a pretty good career as well.
Marion Blogger. He went to Minnesota. I know exactly who you're talking about. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. I still think that USC backfield, just those two, Lindale White and Reggie Bush, kind of amazing. Miami had some amazing backfields in the early 2000s.
Absolutely.
With Clinton Portis and Willis McGahee in the same backfield. But and maybe you can think about, and they, I don't remember how much they were on the field at the same time, but Barry Sanders and who preceded Barry Sanders? I can't think of his name right now. Played for the Bills for years. What is his name, Mac?
Oh gosh, dude.
We're having brain fog. Dude,
we really are, man.
And like we didn't plan on going this route.
No, not at all. Okay, so it was Peyton Hillis, Felix Jones, and Derek McFadden.
Felix Jones had some great seasons with the Cowboys. The Cowboys have some great number two backs. And I guess Jerry Jones has been reading his, you know, fantasy stats and everything. He's like, you know, I got some good number two backs. F this Zeke Elliott guy.
I mean, that's the thing. Tony Pollard
mm-hmm.
last year was averaging 5.5 yards a carry and had over 800 yards. And he was only getting 10 to 15 touches a game. Mm-hmm. He played heavy when Zeke was hurt, which has been happening a lot lately. Yes. Like, I don't think there's been a real big drop off of production at the running back position the way that Zeke Elliott has kind of fallen off a cliff, because you got to think he was power and speed when he was drafted. You know, he spent 2 years just almost rewriting Ohio State rushing records, because like, it's kind of hard to do that when Eddie George played 3 complete seasons there and Zeke only had 2 starting years. Right. And let's face it, Eddie George played in a time and place where the running, you know, Ohio State running backs were getting 30 touches a game.
I mean, were they still running the option when Eddie George was there?
No, it was just like a power eye, a lot of 2 tight end fullback sets, you know? So, I mean, you got to think when Eddie George was there, you know, this is when we were starting that kind of Ohio State wide receiver renaissance that we were, you know, we've seen over the past 20 years.
Who came out the year that Eddie George came out?
You had Terry Glenn was there.
Okay.
And then later on you had David Boston. I think that was a couple of years later. Who was a beast until he had his own knee injuries.
And steroid problems.
Allegedly. Okay. Allegedly. Okay. You know,
we are going to do a show. We have to do a show at some point about young people using steroids, because it's a problem.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you had, oh, I do, because like nothing kills me more. Like I saw a report that's saying like 10% of high school athletes are juicing now. And
it's there's no taboo about it. They don't care about bragging about it. There's so many kids, Mac, on the TikTok and Instagram that are doing these experiments. I'm going to try taking Tren. I'm 110 pounds. I can't bench 90 pounds. I'm going to take Tren. Well, why don't you try benching 90 pounds until you can, before you think that Tren is the way to go?
Yeah, and stenozolol is the new big one, because it's harder to find, because it factors in human growth hormone into its actual formulation. You know, something the body naturally produces. A pitcher from the Brewers just got hit with his second PED violation for stenozolol, and a second PED violation is a whole year suspension. So
they went hard after the 90s and early 2000s. They went real hard in those suspensions.
Yeah.
There's the amount, the stuff that people are doing to not even be athletes. We're not even talking about kids trying to play football, basketball, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of guys doing in combat sports, which I think is really frightening. But these are just cats that just want to look good. And I'm just going to take steroids. And it's so easy to get.
I think what's going to be the roughest part is keeping out HGH therapy, which I don't know if you remember, but guys like Vitor and Dan Henderson were using it for 15 years. Couldn't do it in the United States, so they'd go to Brazil where it's legal, right? I mean, it got to the point where Vitor Belfort couldn't fight outside of Brazil because he, you know, fight commissions wouldn't give him the okay to fight in the United States. So Dana White kind of does this crackdown, right? Listen, if you guys are doing human growth hormone therapy, you're not going to be allowed to fight here. So when you look at Dan Henderson and Fyodor Belfort's last few fights, a lot smaller, a lot slower, and they got demolished, right? Mm-hmm. Well, UFC is trying to really expand their global footprint. Are they the top fight game in MMA? Absolutely. But you know where they're not big? Asia. They're not big in Africa. And those are huge untapped markets. So if you think for 1 second that fighters in one, which has a much stricter like dehydration policy for weigh-in, much, much stricter than UFC, But if you think that some of those guys aren't on that human growth hormone therapy, like, come on, dude, you should see some of one's, like, because one has fights all the way down to 115 pounds for men.
Mm-hmm.
And those dudes are just fucking ridiculous for 115 pounds.
Like, bunch of four footers that are ripped.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you're walking around at like fucking 4% body fat and you're only 115 and you look like you could crush a watermelon with your thighs and it would be easy, you know, like it's just, you know, and especially like there is like I can't remember the name of the organization, but it's essentially like an African UFC based out of Africa. Right. Mm-hmm. And they have like kind of like a fighter training pipeline. So like you start off with, you know, people your age, you know, and then until you get to the main league. And then it's, you know, kind of like it is like, you know, you work your way up the pecking order to get a championship, you know, fight. But some of these guys, you're just like, you're 19 years old and you weigh 165 pounds and the way you look, that's natural. No. You know, like it's not possible. Like, you know, you've heard me, especially during our boxing episode, sit there and go on and on about how much I love Bernard Hopkins. That guy, like, doesn't eat red meat and he doesn't drink alcohol and he doesn't consume sugar. And he was a light heavyweight champ at 50 something years old, but he looked like he weighed 175 pounds. He got there through weightlifting and training and all that. Like, he wasn't this hulking like giant at 175 pounds. Like, he was like lean muscle. But you look at some of these other guys, you're just like, no fucking way, dude.
Well, there's also an industry where these kids can make, you know, some of them legitimate money through being influencers. And that's kind of what we're seeing. And also with NIL deals, Shador Sanders is Deion's kid.
Yeah.
He already owns a Rolls Royce already. And he's 3 weeks in to his big time Division I college life.
In Shador's defense, he had like 6 NIL deals last year at Jackson State that totaled over $1 million. You know,
the kid is like his father. He is made for advertising. I know agents are, as soon as he became available, they were just chomping at the bit to sign him up. He's got a natural charisma. He's definitely not afraid of a camera. He's also not afraid of his dad, but he has respect for his father.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is when you look at Deion, like, let's face it, a lot of people don't like him because he's brash. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, he is Deion Sanders. You know, he's the guy that always had the gold on. He always spoke his mind. He listened to hip hop. His suits were bright colors when the rest of his teammates wore like black. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Shador, like, wears the gold and all this stuff. But have, like, listening to him talk, like, the guy, he can be eloquent when he wants.
He's just, you know? there's a subtleness about him and there's a calmness about him that I enjoy watching him play.
Yes, absolutely.
I have to admit, I enjoy watching this kid play. When I saw the 98-yard drive that he put together with a minute and change left, I believe, in that game, Colorado versus Colorado State. And let's keep in mind, Colorado, granted, Deion kicked everybody off that team. And we don't have to do – we could do a whole show about Deion Sanders. We did a show about Deion Sanders when he was at Jackson State.
Yep.
And he's still – someone – I'm on an email chat with a bunch of cats that you guys wouldn't think are huge sports fans. And it was Walter Ben Michaels that sent a message about Deion being pro strike breakers during the baseball strike, like not getting mad at scab players. Like the guy is not, there's some things he's doing that are interesting, but I don't know if kicking a whole team off to get a bunch of JUCO transfers is, I don't know if that makes him the man people are saying that he is when it comes to caring about kids graduating.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Sanders caught a lot of shit for that, right? And it's, you know, he takes the Colorado job and he tells a lot of the players, listen, there's a reason you guys won a game last year, because you're not that good. So go ahead, you know, put yourself in the transfer portal because there's no spot for you here. And I think there was only like 20 returning players. You know, Sanders completely redid that roster through the transfer portal. Now, he shouldn't get shit for that because you know how many teams collected 15 brand new players or more from the transfer portal? Like when we went to the more, I don't want to call them lax, but the more reasonable transfer, you know, transfer mm-hmm. rules. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, almost every one of our big, you know, our top power five, well, not power four teams, you know, they pick up 10 to 15 transfers every year, every mm-hmm. fucking year. So because Deion did it with like 60 players, suddenly he's a bad guy. It's like, no, dude, Kansas State under Chris Kleeman, you know, the guy who won like a million national titles at North Dakota, was like, okay, there is no talent on this team at Kansas State. I'm going against the likes of like Oklahoma, Texas, Texas Tech, you know, player or teams that are bigger, faster, stronger. And he lives off the JUCO list, just lives off that thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And now he's starting to get people to come in because he's put together like consecutive 10 win seasons, you know, like, and he's not playing boring Bill Snyder ball where it's like Jim Tressel, you know, we're going to run a lot. The punter's the most important guy on the team. You know, like it's the most, it's a boring brand of football. And I say that as an Ohio State fan. Right. But you know, Kleeman, you know, really, really gets into the bringing in JUCO. So why should Deion Sanders catch hell? Because he wanted to revamp a roster that's only won five games over the last like 8 or 9 years, you know, like, come on, dude. Like he is being paid to win. Right. And he doesn't want to lose. Mm-hmm. So like, why should he catch hell for that? Like, I mean, it makes no fucking sense to me, but it shows the hypocrisy of like sports, you know, the entertainment part of sports. You know, I think Mike Tomlin said it best yesterday. He said, we're sports entertainers. We want the best players on the team to be on the field because I want my fans fat and happy. Right? Like, and he's not wrong. And I really commend a guy like Mike Tomlin, who's caught a lot of hell in his time as a head coach. I mean, when he took over the Steelers from Cowher, they were like, well, he doesn't deserve that job. What's he done? Right? Never mind that, you know, he's won a Super Bowl, been to one other one, has never had a losing season. You know, and I think he's stepping on his dick right now, keeping Matt Canada as his offensive coordinator. But, you know, like, he's a good coach. He knows what the hell he's doing, and he knows how to win. So he just spoke the truth. And I'm going to just say it now. I think he caught hell for saying that because he's a black dude that said it. Right? Like, if it was Bill Belichick that said it, he's like, you know what? Yeah, I just want my fans to be fat and happy, and you know, because we're sports entertainers, I'd be like, you know what, Bill Belichick, you know what, you're absolutely right. You are a sage of the game. You win all these Super Bowls, but because Mike Tomlin said it, you know, it's suddenly like bullshit. It's like, dude, this is a business. That's exactly what it is. They want eyeballs on TV. What do we watch football games for? To be entertained. Like, I'm sorry, that's just the truth.
Well, let's jump now to the NFL, and let's do it by divisions, and I'll start in the North, and okay. Let's go AFC North alphabetically. Where do the Steelers rank to you?
Well, I think that's the toughest division of football right now.
Why do you think that?
Because every team is just stacked and ready to win right now. And the thing is, they're going to beat each other up. You know, because each team plays the other three teams in the division twice. Mm-hmm. So that's six games right there in the AFC North. Now, the Steelers, again, Matt Canada is holding that team back, the offensive coordinator. Pickett looks like he's taking a step back. They really need to kind of lean into Pickett's strengths, which are play action off of RPOs, right? And you've got Najee Harris in the backfield, and their backup's actually pretty good too. And I just don't understand why, you know, you've got George Pickett, you know, the wideout from Tennessee that really showed out last year, had a couple big plays so far this season. why you're not working RPOs into it and then letting him kind of option his own routes. Because you're already running most of your offense out of the shotgun. Give, you know, Pickett a little time to make those calls, like make those reads, you know. Mm-hmm. And even then, he doesn't have to be a burner for the RPO to work when he keeps
it. True. It's very true.
He just needs to get 5 yards and slide. Right? Like, that's all he's got to do. But, you know, it's, you know, somebody like Dr. Clark, he said the Steelers can't run the ball. And that's going to kill him come November, December, you know, because you're going to have the ability to kill the clock. And I hate to say it, that short Bill Walsh, you know, short pass game, that does not kill clock, man. Not anymore. It doesn't, you know? So, like, that is really going to hurt the Steelers. Now, when you get into, like, Cincy, offensive line still a problem. Burrow still taking a beating. They can't really run the ball either, which I think the loss of Joe Mixon is starting to kind of be felt a little bit. Or not Mixon, but Perrine, like not having that 1-2 punch in the backfield and leaning on Mixon for the entire rushing total, you know, rushing load is going to get him. Because even at Oklahoma, Mixon wasn't a guy who carried the ball 30 times a game. And I think what also is really kind of factoring in on Cincinnati's kind of dysfunction at this point is the fact that, you know, their number two receiver, T. Higgins, he's in his contract year and he stopped all negotiation. So I can see Higgins leaving. Like with the Burrow deal, you know, you got to think Jamar Chase, his rookie contract is up after next season. There's a lot of money that's going to be going out to keep this offense together. And I don't know if the Brown family actually does that. They're like one of the cheapest fucking ownership groups ever in the NFL.
Yeah,
you know, too. And then, I mean, there's only one family I'd say was worse than the Brown family, and that's the Bidwells, the family that used to own the Cardinals. So, but, you know, Baltimore, they still got Lamar, which always makes them dangerous. You know, they lost their starting running back again. You know, that poor kid cannot stay healthy. This will be, I think, the third year in four that he's missed damn near the entire season because of injury. You know, bringing in Odell Beckham as like a wideout upgrade, especially at this point in his career, I don't think that was smart money. Because, you know, Beckham's already out with an ankle injury and he'll probably be out a couple weeks. And while the wideouts are improved in Baltimore, I mean, Lamar's number one target is still Mark Andrews, the tight end. You know,
does that speak more to Lamar's development as a quarterback or the wide receiver talent?
Well, I mean, can you imagine being in his shoes where like you want to get it down the field because all he's got to do is flick his wrist and the ball travels 80 yards. you know, and you've never really had good receivers that caught the ball with any regularity. Right. And yeah, Dr. Claus, Zay Flowers is good, but again, he's a rookie. Rookie wideouts typically struggle in the NFL. That's just how it is. The route trees are different. The terminology is different, you know? So like,
he's going to have his backs are stronger.
Yeah. Like I said before, everybody in this league is fast. Everybody. And when they look slow, it's just because everybody is that fast, you know? well, I take that back. Daniel Jones is not fast. I've watched him for about 10 minutes right now, and it's not looking.
Well, we went down.
And then we
went
get down, to the, we get to the Browns, right?
Yes. Dun, dun, dun.
We get to the Browns. The Cleveland Browns are built to win now. They are not coached to win now, right? Kevin Stefanski gets into the playoffs off of what? Just the most devastating run game the NFL has seen since like the fucking 80s, because you had Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt just owning folks, right? And last season, after his suspension, they put in Deshaun Watson, who, okay, hasn't played ball in a while. And he looked bad. And Stefanski moved away from running the ball with arguably the best running back in the game, Nick Chubb. And, you know, this past Monday night, Nick Chubb had a devastating knee injury. And the sad thing is, this is the second one like that to him. The same thing happened to him at the University of Georgia, where he dislocated his knee, tore three ligaments, you know, and they're saying that's probably what happened to him again, right? But as far as everybody's question about Deshaun Watson, he looks gun shy. He looks like a guy whose best ball is behind him. Because his ball, he's floating balls that he would, you know, that he wouldn't floated in Texas or in Houston, excuse me. He looks very hesitant when the rush gets to him, you know, rather than stepping up in the pocket, delivering the ball. You know, it's just, you guaranteed $230 million to a guy who hadn't played meaningful football in almost 2 years. And he looks like, you know, I haven't played in 2 years. And, you know, someone said that this is going to go down in history as the worst contract ever in the NFL.
I think Scott Mitchell would like to.
Oh, no. Scott Mitchell didn't get $230 million guaranteed.
I mean, we have to adjust for inflation.
Okay, still, even with inflation, Mitchell's deal doesn't even come near $230
million. And honestly, Neil O'Donnell got a lot of money.
Yeah, but again, this is before they actually built guarantees into contracts. So yeah. Like Neil O'Donnell's contract, he was only going to get 50% of that. The number looked big because there was a lot of performance enhancements like pumped into it to get the number up, right? And the thing is, Watson has no performance enhancers, you know, in his contract. If he wins or loses, if he throws for 3 yards or 5,000, he's getting $230 million. And the thing is, say he just like the Jimmy Haslam, you know, the owner of the Browns, is like, fuck, I made a huge mistake. He can call his peers, the other 31 owners, and we'll say there's 12 other owners that do not have a QB. He can call them up and they're going to be like, nah, man, hard pass. because you know, because he looks like hammered dog shit right now. And on top of that, he's guaranteed $230 million. And do you think he and his agent are going to tear that up to move? Hell no. You know, like who's going to get rid of that deal? So
the Browns are in a little bit of quarterback salary hell.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the funny thing, because of all the adjustments other players made, the Browns have the second most salary cap space in the NFL right now.
And didn't Amari Cooper get hurt too?
No, Cooper's still going. He's having Cooper just, the man knows how to thrive in the face of
mediocrity.
Bad quarterback play.
Mediocre quarterback play.
Yeah. You know, so like Cooper's going to get his touches. He's going to get his numbers. Now, what I really, really dig about what the Browns have done was bringing in Jim Schwartz as their defensive coordinator, because the Browns defense has looked good, really good the last, you know, 2 weeks under Schwartz, and that they're only going to get better. So like that'll keep them in it. But ultimately, I think Cincinnati wins the division. Baltimore gets a wild card spot. If the Browns keep playing defense like they do, because you got to think there's four wild card teams now. So the Browns could easily get one. It's just it's going to be an ugly season. Even bringing Kareem Hunt back, I can see the Browns like winning a lot of like 16 to 13 games. Mm-hmm. You know, it won't be pretty, but a W is a W. So, I think the AFC North is probably the toughest division in football.
Let's just switch to the NFC North. What do you see there? Chicago. I'll tell you who I like out of the NFC North, and I was very heartbroken they lost that game in OT. I really enjoy watching the Lions play because I think Jared Goff got so shafted in LA. I really believe that he could have taken that team to a Super Bowl as well. I don't think there was anything Matt Stafford did that was special.
I don't think Goff was built for McVay's system. With Dan Campbell, he plays a shorter field, a lot of running. But Goff looks comfortable. He looks very comfortable in that system. Like the dude,
he looked great when Gurley was there. They went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that was also one of the worst Super Bowls I've ever seen. Yes. And my team won.
Yes. yes. What was it like? 16-3 What was it? 12-3
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was like, oh God.
You know,
but yeah, back to the Lions and Dan Campbell.
Yeah. But I like what Campbell and the front office are going to do. And what they are doing. I thought they've drafted much smarter. Amon Ross St. Brown is awesome. So I definitely think this is Detroit's division to win. I'm not saying anything about the Vikings. That team is never going to win with Kirk Cousins. Wow.
You don't like that?
Yeah, I not at all, Kirk. Sorry, bro. The Bears, honestly, that offensive coordinator's got to go. He's holding Justin Fields back, because if you remember what he did at the end of last season, they're not doing it at all this season. No RPOs. They're expecting him to like get the ball down the field. I mean, I got it. You got a number one receiver
but
now.
Isn't this what we talked about months ago? That there was a shift for these younger quarterbacks that were coming in, that were playing in spread systems, where instead of putting them in systems that they knew nothing about, all of a sudden we're gonna make, maybe Kaepernick is where we really see it.
Yeah.
We're gonna make it work with what you do. And Kaepernick thrives in that system and has some, you know, really great, a couple great years in San Francisco, and then everybody's thriving in that. So maybe it starts with Michael Vick. Because Michael Vick got some freedom somewhat.
Yeah, and you gotta think, Vick though, when he was drafted, his first year in Atlanta, his offensive coordinator, his quarterback's coach made his reads for him.
Mm.
Right. Mm. Vic was not good at that, because at Virginia Tech, he would make one or two reads. You know, he would check down to a second receiver. Nothing's open. He takes off. Right. And he was so good.
He was playing backyard football. It was Baker Mayfield. Yeah. Not Baker Mayfield. I'm sorry. Johnny Manziel. You know, I can run around, make an amazing play. Yeah.
You know, but, you know, as we saw when his speed started to go because he took all those lower leg injuries, Vic turned into a pretty serviceable quarterback. And I think it says a lot about him.
How fun was it watching Philadelphia with Deshaun Jackson?
Oh, dude, it was so good. And you got to think, that's when he got – when he learned how to put some touch on a pass rather than just releasing it from a cannon, you know? So, like
– John Elway's problem for the first, like, 5-6 years of his career. Couldn't throw a screen pass.
Yeah. I mean, that's a thing. And look at the first 5-6 years of his career. You know, he had a pretty good receiving cast, and they all hated him because they broke so many fingers, because he would just, like, you know,
80 miles unload. An hour with the goddamn football.
Yeah. You know, Fields can make intermediate throws. He can make deep throws. But the thing is, he's only averaging like 4.5 air yards on each pass, which means he's not throwing deep, you know, but like he thrives in positions where the defense is on their back foot because they're expecting him to run, right? And because the Bears have really gotten away from called RPOs where he can, you know, pull it back from the running back and take off, you know, the defenses aren't worried about it. So they just rush four, drop back, you know, five, and double cover DJ Moore. So now, I mean, I wouldn't call fucking Chicago's wide receivers a robust group, you know. So outside of Moore, if you can't get separation, who the hell are you throwing to? Well, you know, so
can,
like,
I ask you this question?
Of course.
What? How can I phrase this? I've been thinking about this a lot. I watched a little bit, so it's hard for me to watch games because so much stuff is blocked in this country, in Mexico. And I have to use VPNs and all kinds of other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't see local games, which would be local to me in California. But I did get to see the end of the Panthers game. So I got to see a little bit of Bryce. What's his name?
Bryce Young.
And I like that kid at Alabama. And I hate Alabama quarterbacks. I think they're trash. But outside of Joe Namath.
Tua
is really good. I like watching Tua play. Okay, you got me on Tua.
If that man can learn how to take a hit, he's going to be amazing.
Poor kid. But he's got one more hit in him before he comes out talking like Reverend Jim from Taxi.
Exactly, right? And the thing is, it's like, if I'm Miami, I'm putting bubble wrap. I'm wrapping him in bubble wrap and then putting his pads on.
I watched that bowl game, the championship game. I was there when Tua, I was working.
Oh, and you have Jalen Hurts too. I love Jalen Hurts.
He's all right. But he's Oklahoma quarterback.
He's a Bama quarterback. Stop it.
He was cheering Tua along in Alabama. But well, seriously, what happens when you take these guys from these programs that are massive winners and all they've ever known is winning? They won at the Pee Wee League. They won in high school. Then they go and they just dominate in college. And then they get to the NFL and these garbage teams, and they're not very – I shouldn't say garbage teams. On teams that aren't as loaded as their college teams were, for whatever reason, underperforming for whatever reason. Maybe they're walking into the door during a coaching change, which can be uncomfortable.
Oh, it's miserable for young quarterbacks. I mean, people don't understand that the revolving door of offensive coordinators and head coaches in the first 3 years of Baker Mayfield's career is probably what caused him to struggle so mightily. And I mean, that just goes to show you how fickle fandom is. You know, Mayfield takes him to the playoffs and beats the Steelers, right? Mm-hmm. And then goes toe to toe with the Chiefs, mm-hmm. barely losing mm-hmm. that game. And you could have built a statue of Baker Mayfield outside of Brown Stadium.
Doing those
right?
commercials.
Right. And then the next year, he has that rotator cuff injury in his non throwing shoulder. But if anybody's thrown a football and done it well, your whole upper body's into it. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're fucked up, it's going to throw off everything. So he didn't look good. He played through that injury, and Cleveland fans were just like, fuck this guy. He's such a piece of shit.
It's Johnny Manziel hangover, because I think those guys played a similar game in college. I think Baker Mayfield is a safer Johnny Manziel. I think he's antithetical to Manziel behavior-wise. But everything else looks very Johnny Manziel. I don't think Mayfield is all that fast. He's not that big.
No, but I tell you right now, Mayfield well coached. Yeah, Mayfield flamed out in Carolina, but when he was brought in as the emergency quarterback for the Rams, had a couple really good games being coached by McVay. And that's what launched him into the Tampa job this year. And I'm not saying Tampa's coaching staff's great, but having that stability and the time to learn a playbook, and it doesn't hurt having Mike Evans as your, wide receiver one. He's looked really good this season. So, as a young quarterback.
But if you're young. But what I guess what I'm asking you, if you're, I'm sorry to cut you off. If you're a young quarterback and you're a top five pick, you're walking into a situation where you are not the missing piece to even a 500 season. And it feels like, especially because a lot of these guys are playing for universities now, where I wouldn't say the game has changed, but they're probably playing 5 to 6 big games a year. I'd say even including a bowl game. So the level of competition they're playing isn't that big. The windows they're throwing through are massive. They're not even throwing through, they're throwing through barn doors, which is why Shedeur Sanders is so fun to watch, because you're watching this kid throw through cracks in the window.
Yeah.
And hitting people between the numbers, and sometimes they're dropping the passes on him. But again, when I watched Bryce Young play at Alabama, he kind of had that, where these huge windows to throw to. And also the kid from Ohio, CJ Stroud. I think these are good players. I think they'll be serviceable quarterbacks, but when I see the looks on their faces, they're so dejected. It almost looks like they don't understand. And again, this is me projecting. But it looks like they don't understand. Then when you watch a guy like Richardson, sadly, he got hurt in that game with a concussion. That was a fun game to watch. Richardson wasn't beating the world at Florida.
Yeah.
So he can walk in the door and have legitimate fun. He's got a pretty decent team around him. Pittman is a hog of a wide receiver.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The Colts, Richardson fell into the best spot out of all of them. because the Colts aren't too far along from being a good team, right? Now, as far as like looking dejected, I think that has more to do with the fact that they know that they're going to line up behind two of the worst offensive lines in the league. Mm-hmm. Like CJ Stroud, right, threw for 360 yards last week. He was under pressure for over 35% of his dropbacks.
Oh, I watched most of that game. And because, again, I wanted to get a gauge on how he's handling the game. And to what we were saying earlier, they're putting him under center. Yep. Which primarily wasn't what he was running at Ohio. And
Ohio State.
Sorry. God, you guys are so Thank particular. You.
No, if I was going to be very particular, I would have said the Ohio State.
I would
State.
Have walked to North Carolina and shook the shit out of you.
Well, like the thing is, the league average for pressure is 11%. And CJ Stroud was under pressure 35% of his dropbacks.
And he doesn't want to take off.
No, that's not his game.
That's not his game. And I think every time we have to get over this.
I had this argument with Ohio State fans who got pissy at him because he lost to Michigan twice in a row. They're like, well, he should have took off and ran.
It's not his game.
That is not. No, he is a dropback quarterback.
He just happens to be colored.
Yeah.
Byron Leftwich just happened to be black. He was not a running quarterback at Marshall.
God, no. You did not want Byron. You didn't want him running at all.
No. He put up massive passing numbers at Marshall. Yes. You know why? Because he stayed in the pocket and he chucked. Same thing could be said with CJ Stroud. He can move around in the pocket. Of course he can. But that kid is looking downfield because he wants to make a play. I look at Richardson. I'm literally looking at him play like all the other great first-year quarterbacks. I don't see it on this half of the field. I'm running.
Yep, I'm out. And that's the thing. That is going to get him in trouble because he's been injured at the end of both games. And, like, this past Sunday, like, he went to the tent and was like, dude, I got hit in the head. I think I might have a concussion. Right? One, I give him a lot of credit for that. A lot of credit. Because you got to think, even 10 years ago, mm-hmm. no one's doing that. And I'm glad that younger players are realizing I only have so many years in this league. I do not want my brain to be as smooth as a marble when
I NIL money changed that. And I think myself as brand changed that and understanding that I have a lot to offer to the marketing world, the merchandise.
And I also think Junior Seau's suicide had a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. This was a guy that everybody knew. Mm-hmm. He leaves that note, you know, and says, I'm donating my brain. I want it to be studied. You know, I haven't been the same since I retired. And then when they took his brain out of a skull, everybody, like the doctors were like, oh, fuck. You know, like how was this man upright? Because he had so many just gray areas all over, you know. So I think when you see a guy that seemed superhuman and Seau did, mm-hmm. he looked superhuman in college at USC.
Mm-hmm.
He looked superhuman even those last few years in San Diego when the Spanos family was like, he's not that good anymore. Let's get him out of here. And where does he go? New England, and completely just balls out there in a system that he normally didn't play in. You know, so like when you see a guy that's a superhero, one, take his own life, and two, like, it tries to bring light on something that's been afflicting football players since footballs became a thing. You know, like I think that is going to shake you up a bit, you know? So, I mean, like I give Richardson a lot of credit, but the Colts, they've got to be careful with him because he can end up like Tua, one shot away from, you know, drooling all over himself at the press conference.
I forgot to tell you this, Mac. I have to do a hard out in 20 minutes.
Okay.
So I still want to. We're going to keep going through this.
Yeah, we'll do the round robin. We'll do a speed.
Here I'm going to hit up some teams that everybody wants to talk about.
Okay.
Everybody wants to know about the Jets post Aaron Rodgers.
Cook.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you that.
Okay.
Zach Wilson. I'm going to be. I'll be quick with this. Zach Wilson is not going to get you the playoffs. I mean, here's the thing. Garrett Wilson, another Ohio State wide receiver, who's really absolutely good. Amazing.
He's really fun to watch.
Oh, God, he's amazing. Who's on the other side of the field from him? Alan Lazard. That's all I'm going to say, right? Aaron Rodgers might love that guy. He doesn't put up numbers, you know, compared to a lot of the number two wide receivers in the league. If Robert Saleh leans on the run and doesn't let Wilson throw the ball more than 20, 25 times a game, they'll get a playoff spot, but they're not going far in the playoffs.
You don't believe in Wilson?
Fuck no. That guy, you know what I believe in him for? Fucking his classmates' moms. That's what I believe in Zach Wilson for.
The Miami Dolphins, who my Denver Broncos have to take on. Miami Dolphins, in my opinion, are the most frightening team in the NFL. The Niners and the Dolphins, to me, are very scary. Tyreek Hill is playing on all Madden mode.
Oh, yeah. And then you have Waddle on the other side. Dude, I mean, they're both burners. Raheem Mostert, everybody's like, you know, like he played 5 years in the league without anybody paying attention to him. He gets to San Fran under Mike McDaniels as OC, Kyle Shanahan as head coach, and has like 2,000 yard seasons. Follows McDaniels to Miami. And dude, Mostert had 140 something yards rushing on, you know, Sunday night. So like they have good running back depth. That the defense could use a little work. But I mean, let's face it, defenses typically take longer to gel. So like by midseason, like Miami's going to win the East, I think.
But can they go all the way to the Super Bowl, somewhere they haven't been since 1984?
I don't see why not. Speed kills in this league, and they're honestly the fastest team in the NFL. So, and I don't know anybody who's really schemed well. I mean, Belichick and the Belichicks, Steve and Bill, schemed fairly well to keep the deep passes from being in effect on Sunday night, but they gave up the middle of the field, and Waddle ate them up, and Mostert also ran up the gut a lot, which caused problems. So, I mean, if you can keep Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle to like 10 catches combined, that's a good day. That is a good day. You know, so like I don't think there's many defenses that could really do that though.
What's a defense you think they could beat them? I mean, they lost games, Philly. But they did lose quite a few games.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm off the top of my head, I'm going to go Philly and probably the Niners D because they're just so fast up front that they would really inhibit Tua's ability to get the ball out quickly or make those reads where he can check down from Tyreek Hill to go to Waddle or a tight end, you know, stuff like that. So those two defenses are the two best in the NFL. Hands down. I think the Houston Texans have a chance to have a really good defense just because I love D'Amico Ryans. I think he's going to be really good for that defense.
Now, I have the Niners box score up in front of me. They're up 17-6 at halftime on the Giants. Brock Purdy has a touchdown pass. Daniel Jones is under 100 yards. Christian McCaffrey, 10 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown.
And he also has another 30 yards receiving, so he's almost at 100 yards from scrimmage.
He's a monster. They have two cheat code players in San Francisco, Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey.
And I'd even argue Brandon Ayuk is another
is a great wide receiver that gets slept on. You have George Kittle at the tight end position. You have a very, very solid defense there in San Francisco. A pretty smart head coach that can't seem to win the big one. Unlike his dad. but he was on those staffs as a very young man, even in 94. I think he's a student assistant.
I mean, and the thing is, Shanahan, his biggest problem has come playoff time is he does a lot like what Kevin Stefanski does. He knows he's the better play caller on the field, and he just overthinks what he's doing. I really think that's it.
Are the Niners the team to beat in the NFL?
I'd say they're the team to beat in the NFC.
Do you think Brock Purdy? Until
you win a Super Bowl, you can't be the team to beat. Ooh. You know what I mean? Like that's just how I feel about it.
So who's the team to beat in the NFL?
I still think it's Kansas City. I think they can be got this year, but until you know they don't make it to the Super Bowl, you can't really. I mean, Pat Mahomes is something else. Their defense is a lot better. They lost a lot of weapons on offense. I think losing Hill was a bigger kick in the pills and they let on because, you know, they did win the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. But they don't run the ball well. I really like Pacheco. I don't understand why Andy Reid doesn't call more runs just for him. You know, it just, like I said, right now they're defending champs and that's the team to beat. That's the one, that's the measuring stick, right? So, I mean, the Niners, I think they have a good chance. If it's KC Niners in the Super Bowl, I think the Niners can get them this time.
Oh, there's revenge to play for.
Yeah. And I think, I also think that this is a defense that was kind of caught off guard against the speed of Tyreek Hill in that Super Bowl. And he's not there anymore. I mean, the little only receiving threat you have to really worry about and scheme for is Travis Kelce.
Are the Buffalo Bills, are they done? Or are they still going to be a good team?
They're going to be a good team. Okay. But see, they've had the advantage of playing in an AFC East that has been super down, mm-hmm. you know, since Brady left. When Brady left and the Pats fell off, you know, the Jets were the Jets, right? The Dolphins were the Dolphins, you know? So, like, it was a great time for Buffalo to be on the up, mm-hmm. you know? But now, what are you doing to get over the hump there? And I, like, if I were the Bills, I would have went hell-bent for leather to get Dalvin Cook. You know, they need a stout running back. They have his little brother, but, you know, is he going to solve your rushing problems? Fuck no. And the thing is you can have a run and gun QB. We saw it in Buffalo for what, 14 years with Jim Kelly.
Who was a lot more accurate, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think a lot of that had to do with Kelly playing in the system yep. that he played in college and then going to the USFL first. Mm-hmm. Which was very much a much more pass happy league than the NFL was.
I mean, he was throwing for 5,000 yards in the USFL.
Oh yeah. I think it was 5,200 his first full season yeah. there. You know, but what did they do well in late November, December going into the playoffs in January? They ran the fuck out of the ball. And Jim Kelly lived off play action with Thurman Thomas.
That's the running back we were looking for that played with Barry Sanders.
Right. So like, it's just, I don't understand what Buffalo is doing. Their defense is good. You got a franchise QB in Josh Allen. You've got a franchise wideout in Stephon Diggs. Your wide receiving group is pretty good. And you just drafted us like a fucking stud tight end out of Utah. Right. And it's just like, you need to run the ball and they don't do it well. So I don't know, man. I think this year the East is going to go to the Dolphins, and Buffalo will be a wild card team.
Okay, back to the East, but in the NFC, I mean, you mentioned this team once. Are the are the Philadelphia Eagles for real?
Yes. That's a good team, man. And let's face it, this is a team that drafts so well. Mm-hmm. They that defensive tackle that they drafted from Georgia, like. You just went to his fucking Super Bowl, bro, and you're drafting 19th. Like, they've done so well moving people mm-hmm. out to get picks in to keep the player rotation young. Mm-hmm. And, dude, that defense is fucking spot on. I love Jalen Hurts. I like what he's do
great
on
for
offense.
Can we just admit he's great for the city?
Oh, goddamn, yes.
Jesus.
And on top of that, with the wide receiver group they have and how well they run the mm-hmm. ball, you know, it's just absolutely nuts. Thank you, Dr. Call. Jalen Carter was the name of the tackle. Mm-hmm. But, like, dude, his first play in preseason, like, dude literally just shrugs a block off and hits the running back for a 6-yard loss. The first time he suited up in an NFL game. And he's held his own in regular season. So it's like, this is a story of the rich getting richer. So Philly is going to own the East
but
for a while.
Can Dallas rival them with a healthy Dak Prescott? And I saw this meme, I don't know if I sent it to you. It said this is what Zach Wilson was saying on the sidelines after Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And if you remember that white lady in the airplane that was like, that motherfucker yeah. there is not real. And so it's that woman's face on Zach Wilson's body, and the person they're pointing to is Micah Parsons.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is Parsons is amazing. But losing Diggs is going to, it's going to really, really change what Dallas does on defense. And the sad thing is Diggs tore his ACL in practice. Oof. You know, so it's just like that is a huge loss because, you know, Diggs is a guy that shuts down a whole side of the field.
Fun to watch.
Yeah.
Makes that seem fun to watch.
So it's going to be they're going to have to scheme differently. And I don't like Dallas's defensive back depth like at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how they really bounce back from this. It's going to be a good team. But let's face it, when you play in a division with the Giants, who should never be on TV again this year. I'm just
they're making this game close against the Niners.
And honestly, we were talking
it's
about
first and 10 at the nine. Oh, sorry. The Niners got the ball.
Yeah. But we were talking about this before we even started. Purdy is floating balls. I think like he had a surgery that pitchers get that take them a year to recover from.
Tommy John.
Yeah. He had all his ulnar collateral ligament replaced.
This is the thing about the Niners that I don't care what anyone says. It's hard to take a former number one that's bounced around because it's not about what coaches say. It's about the public opinion.
Yeah.
That's really what this is. It's about fantasy stats, public opinion. That's what matters. That's what gets the heat on you, right? Darnold outplayed those quarterbacks in the preseason. And
well, it's because
I don't care what you say. I think he's a better quarterback than Brock Purdy.
I think he's got a better arm than Brock Purdy. I don't think he reads a field better than Brock Purdy. I don't think he moves around in the pocket better than Brock Purdy.
Oh, you are tripping.
No.
You are tripping.
Against
Brock Purdy, we haven't seen Brock Purdy really face pressure.
Against first-team defenses, throughout his career, in every stop Darnold's had, New York, Carolina.
What was his offensive line looking like in New York when he was
My man here? Gets deer in the headlights.
He was getting, why'd you cross your mind? He was getting the crap kicked out of him in New York. He went to a no-win situation in Carolina and actually did okay in Carolina.
Okay doesn't win games, though, bro.
Yeah, he did win some games.
In Carolina, dude, they were under 500.
I don't even know how many.
And on top of that, he got benched for fucking Baker Mayfield.
You know what? I'm going to go old school. There was a man that bounced around a little bit. He was a top draft pick coming out of Stanford University, won a Heisman. And it wasn't until the end of his career in Oakland that he won two Super Bowls. The last two that team has won is Jim Plunkett.
Jim Plunkett, yes.
And if you would have told anybody after Jim Plunkett went to San Francisco or after he went to New England and flopped.
Yeah.
And then he went to San Francisco and flopped, which was going to be his homecoming. He goes to Oakland and is still a backup. Mark Wilson is supposed to be the answer in Oakland.
Yeah.
If you look at his stats for the year, he doesn't pass for a ton of yards. But it is Jim Plunkett that leads those Raiders teams to two Super Bowls in 3 years. I'm not saying Sam Darnold's going to lead the Niners to two Super Bowls in 3 years. I'm just saying don't be surprised if he comes in and wins some games because he can do something that he hasn't had a chance to do probably since high school. Where'd he go? Matter Day? He was in Matter Day, which is he's got Christian McCaffrey, Debo Sam. Name the weapons he had in New York.
Listen, he had
exactly. You got to really think about it.
He had Robbie Anderson. All right, that's who he had. He also had him in Carolina.
This guy has something he never had before in his NFL career, and that's a coaching staff that believes in him and people that can play around him.
Well,
he's not going to have to force the ball.
The thing is, he doesn't have the support of Shanahan, so we're not going
to. Why does he have a team? Because ownership wanted him.
They have to have somebody there.
Look,
as a backup.
You don't want to admit it, because we all know Sam Darnold looks like every bad guy in an 80s movie.
Oh God, you know who he looks like? The South Africans from Lethal Weapon 2.
But sir, you're Blick.
Yeah. And now we have to bring up a picture of Darnold because we have to go back into Marcus's theory. Does Darnold have lips? Because if he doesn't, we know what he is. A racist.
Sam Darnold looks like his first words were the N-word. There's Sam Darnold. He could be the nicest guy in the world. He could be the most like anti-racist dude in the history of anti-racism. Or he could be the bad guy in Lethal Weapon. That yeah. I found a picture of him. We're going to share the screen here. So for the people viewing, bam, every picture of this guy is not helping him.
No, dude. And he doesn't have a top lip.
Sam Darnold.
Not a fucking dude. He's got half the lips he's supposed to have, Jason.
Sam Darnold. Wait, where's this picture right here? Sam Darnold looks like if white privilege, like what does white privilege look like? It looks like
Sam Darnold. Yeah, it does. When you look up white privilege in the dictionary,
there's a picture of Sam Darnold smugly looking at you with the football. But I want you to get used to this picture because you're going to be seeing it by week 5.
Yeah.
You're seeing Sam Darnold right.
on the sideline doing this. You're right. We will see him. We're going to see that big number 14 calling in the plays to Brock Purdy. But yeah, I mean, let's do this quickly. NFC East, definitely Philly. If so we're going NFC South.
Wait a minute. So Kansas City is your team to beat.
Yes.
Can the Broncos shock the world and get a wild card spot? That collapse in the second half, or pretty much the second quarter in that game.
Yeah, but you know what? I have learned my lesson. I don't talk shit about Sean Payton-led teams. He knows how to coach. He's a very successful coach. And I'm telling you right now, Russell Wilson looks so much better than he did last season. He looked way more decisive. I mean, there's still times where, you know, he kind of looked like he got jittery, but like just getting the ball out a lot quicker. He's not holding on to it as long. I think that Peyton really needs to take advantage of Wilson's mobility a little more. Like call some design plays where you can get to the outside and just get 9 yards, go out of bounds.
Dr. Claw says that Hail Mary was nuts. That, and I do want to end the show with this. I do have to voice this. I'm a football fan first. I'm a Bronco fan second. I always say that. And that Hail Mary was like one of those, oh my God, I'm running around my apartment screaming very loudly. I'm glad the neighbors didn't come out. And the next play to watch the mugging of Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
And even look at the coach for the Commanders, Ron Rivera, waiting for the ref to throw the flag. Everybody was waiting for the ref to throw the flag. And there's – why is there no flag?
Every official gets a grade after every game.
It's a horribly efficient game on both sides. And
every official in that game got like a what you would call – like it would be like a C or lower for that game. And the thing is, those grades dictate what games they get to work and call. So, like, at the end of the year, if your grade isn't a certain number, you can't work the playoffs, which means you're not getting paid extra, you know? So, like, if I'm the fucking refs, man, if we're talking, like, holding calls, I'm ignoring a lot of them because there's holding on every play between offensive linemen and defensive linemen, unless it's egregious. But when it comes to, like, pass interference – man, fuck you. If you fart in the wind wrong and your pinky just gets caught on a jersey, I'm throwing the goddamn flag, right? And you can piss and moan at me later. You can challenge it. We'll go, you know, do the replay. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That doesn't count against the ref, you know? Mm-hmm. But when he misses an egregious play, like, you know, I don't know, Cortland Sutton almost getting butt fucked with a fist, you know, because this guy was all over him.
All you know? Over him.
Like that's an egregious miss, you know? That's not maybe overreacting a bit. That's just completely missing a call that changed the course of the game, you know? So yeah, I just,
it broke my heart because I saw that team do something they hadn't done in a while, which has scored 30 points in the game. First of all, they came out like gangbusters in the first quarter, and then they kind of, I don't know what happened in the second half. I don't think Sam Howell was that great of a quarterback.
I don't. I agree with you. I don't think so either. I don't trust North Carolina quarterbacks. And whoever drafts Drake May, I think you're going to get the same thing as Howell and a couple, you know, old Mitchell Trubisky. Like,
Where is he at now? Oh, is he still in Pittsburgh?
Back up in Pittsburgh, yeah.
He's on Pittsburgh. I watched that game, and I just felt really let down by the defense. And I still miss Von Miller. I know it's been like 4 years.
Yeah,
I miss that presence.
It's a depth issue at this point.
But Randy Gregory is not bad.
No, and I think what is really hurting that defense is moving Bradley Chubb to Miami. They don't have a dominant pass rusher off the edge now, but they did get a first-round pick out of it. So, you know, pick your poison. I think things are going to – you're going to have to give Peyton this season and next year because he's going to completely revamp that roster. His strength and conditioning coaches are some of the best. And he also builds a pretty deep roster, typically because – He and his front office always take the salary cap to the very brink of usage. So, the Jason Miles of linebackers. But I know you got to go, Jason. And big spring football news: there will be a merger between the USFL and the XFL.
To be a developmental league for the NFL?
No, they're just going to merge. There will not be two spring leagues anymore. There will be one.
Called the UX.
I have no, there's the details are still being worked out. The only thing they've worked out so far is that the games will be split between Fox, which owns the USFL, and the XFL and ESPN, ABC, because they carry the XFL game. So there should be more stuff coming out.
I'm still a big fan of spring football. Having year round football, I think, is kind of a beautiful thing for a fan like myself.
Oh, dude, I'm the same way. I watch it all. Yeah, I watched USFL, XFL, I watched the Canadian Football League. When the Arena League was on TV, I watched the shit out of that. You know
why he does that, people? Because he's from a small market.
Ouch. We all can't be from the Bay Area. The fact of the matter is, I would not thrive in the Bay Area. Too much seafood, and I'm allergic to it.
That's literally where I have to go. I have to run down the coast of Baja to go to a coastal. I'll take some pictures for you if the sun is still out. If it's even going down, it is one of the more beautiful sunsets I've seen in 46 years and of a lot of international travel.
God, I want a nice sunset.
You know the rule. The spare bedroom is always open. The sheets are always laundered.
Well, I'm doing Christmas gifts right now. I just bought Bailey's new Switch. Mm-hmm. Kale wants an Oculus like VR headset, so that's another $350 I got to come up with. But starting in January, I'm just sacking money away for seeds, ammunition, and take one trip in the summer. So,
you know what would have been a better Christmas present for him? A trip to see Uncle Jason.
Oh no, you don't want to deal with my daughter right now. You've already dealt with 14-year-old girls, and my daughter's just like, oh my god, I cannot believe it.
There's so much to do here.
And my
you can give her a foot in the ass and be like, you'll figure it out.
Dude, just go outside. My daughter is a little bitch right now, and I hate saying that, but she is.
I'm gonna leave with you with this. Because of all this open space that is not monopolized by capital in this country, for better or for worse, the people that are able to use it for good, on Mexican Independence Day, that just the past weekend, me and a friend of mine went to Tijuana, and we've been going there so much. And there's like a little scene that we've
there's a certain show I want to see. I heard in TJ a lot.
We do not go to that show.
Just kidding, everybody. I really don't want to see that.
I don't want to see any of that. But there's this little clothing store that sells like I got to take a picture for you next time I'm there if you want any band shirts, because they sell these like bootleg shirts of bands and horror movies. And I got Ben a shirt, so I'll take a picture next time I'm there. But anyway, the people at the store know us now. They're like, hey, you guys going to the concert? We're like, we don't know anything about anything. They're like, oh, go to this cafe and there's going to be a show there. So we find this cafe. It's a normal looking cafe, right? And like any cafe you've walked into where you live in North Carolina. We walk through these double doors and it leads you through this kind of decrepit amphitheater. And these kids, and it's like a proper amphitheater. And these kids are throwing a show in there. They took the middle of the amphitheater, which would have been standing room only, and turned that part into a skate park.
That's so rad. That is and, so rad.
But it's a family thing with the punk metal community. So there's dad going off the ramps and the rails. His daughter is behind him. That's got to be like a little bit younger than your daughter. There's little girls with all the pads on learning how to skate. Little boys learning how to go off the ramp. I'm not trying to be funny. It's all the way from like grandparents to teenage kids, and everyone's why there's bands, older bands, young bands, and they're just playing. These people put lights up. There's food vendors, and it's like this massive amphitheater.
That is.
I'll
so
show you
cool,
some pictures
man.
From it.
It was so fucking cool.
It was so cool, and I looked at my friend who and I said, we could never see this back home because you couldn't have this much space and someone not be taking it up for something, a parking lot, apartments. Whatever. And these kids find any open space they can and they throw shows. The vibe is super peaceful. There's mosh pits and everything, like all the things you would see at any other underground show. But like when I say, if you were to bring your kids here, this stuff tends to go on like every weekend. And it's just so much fun. So much fun.
Well, you'll have to let me what place serves chicken nuggets, because right now that's all my daughter eats. Oh, 14 years old.
Don't worry.
It will not touch anything but nuggets. I'm like, kid, I'm going to like throttle you.
Like I said, don't you worry about that. You just get your tookus down here and we will have a champagne jam.
That's what I'm talking about. And we can do a weird show.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, we could totally do a show from anywhere there, and it would be so much fun. Like we could do a show. There's a football stadium down there because TJ has a football team.
Oh dude, yeah. I was reading about this because I don't know if you saw, but the X League, which is Japan's mm-hmm. professional American football league team, mm-hmm. Does like 20,000 people a game, mm. and I was like, holy shit. There's a new European League of American Football that did a deal with the NFL. So they use like old, NFL Europe teams. They mm-hmm. use all their, like there's a team in Barcelona called the Dragons.
Yeah.
You know, from the early 90s renditions. Right. Mm-hmm. And their league average is like 12 to 15,000, depending like outside of Germany, they cram 30, 40,000 people in, you know,
Football's a thing here. Like there's kids on the weekends. They have to raise money for sports here. On the weekends, there's kids that come out there. They have their football unis on, and they're, you know, they stand out and they sell water for like 20 pesos, which is like a little over a buck. And they're raising money for their football leagues because there's all the high schools here do football. So we could actually kind of F around and have some fun. You know, the invite is open.
Yep. I've already got I already paid to get my passport updated. So I'm just waiting to get it back. And yeah, I'll get the money together, dude.
I'll send you some video from the place I took video when I was at the thing. Just start, you know, getting in your daughter's ear like, hey, honey, I know the Switch may seem like the right present, but these memories are forever.
See, Kale, that would work with. Kale likes doing stuff. Bailey is 14 and wants stuff. Just like her Amazon wish list, my ex was telling me it's like 600 items. And I'm like,
oh, Jesus.
I was like, what the fuck? How does she think we're going to get 10 off that list?
All I can tell you, Mac, is that someone has horses that have been out. And I went on my run today. And I always look at the horses and kind of wave. And today, because I think I always relate to everything by where I grew up. So I'm like, these hood ass horses are the horses. Hey, that's that motherfucker always be taking pictures. Hey.
Just like the ghetto dog.
So the first time in my life, because I don't know what in the horses are supposed to be like these pretty majestic things. Little small 7-year-old children draw them in class, and they're supposed to be sweet creatures that want to hug you. These horses, just they could be nice, but they seem like some niggas. And so the horses I'm taking pictures, Mac, and I'm like trying to get in, and the sun is coming through the clouds because the marine layer just left, and I'm trying to get close, and the horse looked at me. I shit you not, he looked at me, and he looked at the other horse, and he did this. And then he started following me home.
You better be careful, because you're starting to sound like Sam Darnold when he's just running out walking away from a restaurant.
Sam Darnold leaving an Oakland restaurant, living in the Bay.
He gets home. He's like, excuse me, 911? Yes. Some of the youths have followed me. And I know what youths, you know what I'm talking about.
It's Darnold with an A.
Mr. Darnold, this is the 28th call we've had this week. There are just black people that live on your block. Listen, I did not come to play for the San Francisco 49ers to have this happen.
I turned right into Sam Darnold because the horses started following me. And then my neighbor has these people that do work around his house. And one of them had a hose and saw me, and the horses, I shit you not, they saw me, like, start looking back at him, and they saw my friend's neighbor in, and they just kind of, like, turned sideways, like, oh, no, we get that motherfucker. We don't catch him slipping again. Because horses can kick the shit out of you, can't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, my uncle raised Clydesdales for Budweiser. I used to have to, like, clean out their stalls and, like, feed them and shit. And they respond to commands. And the thing is, I was cleaning out a stall one time, and the biggest one they had just puts his left back hoof right on top of my foot and doesn't move. Mm. Looks over its shoulder like, bitch, I got you. Looks forward. And I'm giving the command to step right. It's step G for right and step H for left. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, step G, step G. And I start screaming. I'm like, step G, you know. And I'm there for like an hour. And my uncle comes out, and he's just a big dude. He's like, what the fuck is going on here? And like, you could see my head above like the stall.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse is just sitting there eating. And he responded to my uncle's voice and just started like shaking its head and all this stuff. And then my uncle was like, why? What are you doing? And I'm like, I can't move. And he's like, why? And he looks down. He's like, oh, yeah, that'll do it. So he like bends over and like just start trying to like lift up, because typically if you start pulling up on the bottom part of their leg, they'll just lift it. Mm-hmm. This horse wasn't having it. He just digs in, and I'm sitting there like, oh, will you please stop? Like, and finally he gets into a move, and I'm like, hey, Uncle Jimmy, I'm done. He's like, yeah, you should probably go like ice it. I couldn't get my boot off for like 40 minutes because my foot had swollen up so bad. Right. My whole foot was bruised, and I was running, or I was throwing shot and discus in track. And I tried throwing the next day, and my coach was like, what is wrong with you? And I had no shoes on because like I couldn't get my fucking shoes on. Right. And he's like, what's wrong with you? You can't throw shot or disc in sandals. And he looked at my foot and he was like, oh God, what happened?
He's like, what happened? Did a horse step on you?
Yeah. I was like, it was a fucking horse, coach. And he was like, oh yeah, that's no good. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. He's like, well, you're gonna need to go put shoes on so you can practice. We got to meet this weekend. I was just like, oh God.
Grin and bear it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm terrified of these ghetto ass horses that's just roaming around the hills of Rosarito, punking adults.
Well, first off, you shouldn't trust any horse. That's how I feel about it. They're giant. They can kick you into oblivion. And I don't trust anything I could ride. Okay? Like, I don't fucking trust it.
I think that's what the last thing my ex-wife said.
Hey-oh.
And it looks like the Giants are coming in closer. It's 20-12.
Yep. Can we please stop putting the Giants on television? Like, just stop. Like, Purdy is floating balls that should be catchable. I get it, right? But, dude, the Giants are just so inept. I kind of feel bad for Emma just because she's a Giants fan and has she's to watch Giants this. Fan.
I haven't talked to Emma in a minute. And, you know, she won the league, so Emma has a TIR hoodie.
Yeah.
Because she won the league. And so, look, thank you so much, Mac. We will be back. Oh, no rhyme intended. to talk more sports. This is always fun. Thank you, everybody, for checking this out. Drop a comment. I want to see who you guys think are your picks to win the Super Bowl. Let Mac and I know in the comments. I'm sure Mac would love to give you a 5-paragraph response on why you're wrong.
Or just a simple word like
I disagree.
Or shit, you know, and I'm using that to describe the Giants right now. Shit.
Well, thank you guys. And we are out.
Go Buckeyes. Oh.